Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 13 November 2022, Sunday class. So we'll be sharing our Dhamma based on this transcript book, the 75th lesson of the Sixth Pitaka Platform Sutta. We actually stop at page 53, but we didn't finish, so I need to go back to page 43 to capture the essence so that we share again. This part is on mindfulness, stability of it, which is also a lot of Kayanamitta who are developing the cultivation. They find it difficult to develop this. So this sharing should help them, because cultivation is not just about sitting, doing all the thing that is taught to you in the retreat or meditation center. Cultivation is an overall understanding. It covers a wide scope of understanding, starting with the five spiritual faculties, and the stability of your faith, your sincerity, and your perseverance, and the importance of heedfulness. When you understand the importance of heedfulness, it will actually allow you to see the importance of developing this daily mindfulness, and how to do it is also not easy to develop understanding. So today sharing, I will cover all this so that you all can develop better understanding. Then you must understand what is wrong thought. Then why the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion are so dangerous. That's why I allow you all to develop the understanding, to realize that you are already deviated or off track. Whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, the wrong thoughts are there, means the evils are there. Otherwise, you won't be unhappy, you won't be not peaceful. When you develop the correct cultivation, you should be all the time peaceful and happy. So whenever your mundane mind sway or stir or react, then the awareness should have the ability to be aware of those mind state. These are wrong thought, the condition or your negativity of mind states. So all these are very important. So hopefully with this explanation, I go backward 10 pages to redevelop the understanding to that transcript sharing, then it will help more cultivators of the way. Okay, as usual, we will prepare for puja. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall proceed with the puja chanting. Namo Bunsi Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bunsi Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bunsi Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Amitabha Phật. 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 Namo Poshen Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sawakasango Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pama datana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama Padang Pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Today invocation to the Devas. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho. ปิจจารณาสัมปันโนสุขะโตโลกาวิโดอนุตตรโอปุริสธัมมสารติสัตตาเทวมนุสานังบุตโตภะคะวะติสวาคาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติติโกอกาลิโกเอหิปัสสโกอุปนายิโกปัจจัตตังเวทิตาโบเวโนหิติสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติดังจัตตาริปุริสยุคานิอัตตปุริสปุคะลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอะหุเนโยปะหุเนโยตะเคเนโยอัญจะลิกะระเนโยอนุตตรังปุญญังเขตังโลกัสสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, you all can be seated. Now we will continue from where we stopped. We go backward to page 43, the last paragraph. This is teaching cultivators of the way, especially those who find it difficult to sustain the progress or develop the understanding. You listen attentively, what we share on this. What I would like to do is maybe we modify this a bit as I share. If you all have any part you want to add something or clarify something, you can just come in through the mic. Then we can discuss it. Otherwise, I just continue to share. Then I may not know you all can actually follow or not. For those who find it difficult to follow, you let me know. Then you need more elaboration or what, we can go through it. Okay. So now I'll start. Last paragraph, page 43 of this book, the 75th lesson of the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta. For the Mahayana practitioner, almost every day they are chanting, mindful and aware of what they do, means chanting the Buddha's name, the Great Being's name. And you realize their routine. They are actually doing all this to develop the spiritual faculty. That's how I put here. That's how they develop their stability or the spiritual faculty of sati and sada. Because when you have faith in a great being like Amitabha Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, or whatever great being, when you chant with the faith, your sadha will be very strong. Then when you chant it very often, it might become repetitive. Because you are training your awareness. You chant until no one is chanting, until the awareness and the chanting become one. It's just that movement, the awareness just follow the forehow or the mantras or the great being's name. That's how they develop their stability of mindfulness and faith, sadha. So they also have their morning chanting, their evening chanting, Sometimes full moon chanting and new moon chanting. That's why Mahayana do a lot of chanting. Then as they do the chanting, they also walk around for all those things. They do it mindfully. And they also have the various other type of chanting, like the Chan Qi, or what they call the 7-day meditation chanting, or the 10-day meditation chanting. Then sometimes they also have the 9 days and the 30 days, it depends. So they continuously develop their spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Just like what we all Theravada practitioner did. Then at that time, I think they also have a Kuan Yin retreat in Cameron Island. They also did the same thing. They follow the routine. And because of this continuous cultivation or chanting, there's a reason why some of you, like Sister Adeline, her mindfulness just arise because she did it continuously. So hope this can develop understanding. She also tried to stabilize her city before she went for the retreat while at Rayong, Thailand. She could do it because she was very determined at that time. And she also has the faith and the virya. She was ready when she was at the recent retreat. So these are the reasons why she benefited so much while at this retreat. Then she knew that daily mindfulness are very important. And most of the time, she and those who have gone through it or developed it, like Brenda Song, they are aware and mindful most of the time, means throughout the day, most of the time. That's what cultivation is all about. You must have a religious routine to stabilize your daily mindfulness so that it stabilizes. As long as you are not heedful, means not in the state of ever mindful, to cultivate the noble eightfold path, you are as if dead according to Dhammapada verse 21. Because Dhammapada verse 21 said the heedless are as if dead. That's why you must train your mind until they are ever mindful most of the time, so that you are heedful in the midst of life. Otherwise you are as if dead. The heedlessness, or the heedless are as if dead. So this training is not difficult when you understand. When you understand, you just do. Develop the sincerity, persevere, and just do. Then don't try to know. Don't worry about progress or right or wrong. Just do. Every time the thought wants to know, you should inquire, am I doing it right? Who is trying to be right? The thought is trying to be right. It is too eager to know, to progress. Do you understand? Then the ego manifests without you knowing. We are saying, hey, I have got it ready. Especially so if I were to tell you your meditation reporting is good. Please continue your practice. Then your thought will tell you, brother, they will say, I'm doing it right. Then you become complacent. So complacency is a dangerous mind factor. You think you have got it, and then you stop or slow down your cultivation. The real meditation is not about doing it right or wrong. It's about understanding what you have to do in the name of meditation. If your spiritual faculty are not stable, then you have to work on it, especially mindfulness. Cultivating Sada or faith and virya are relatively easier. But sati, you must develop it throughout the day, as per my earlier advice. A good daily religious routine is very important. Before you sleep, meditate. Silence your mind and relax. When you go to sleep, be mindful. silent and meditate until you sleep. Then the most important one is the next morning. The moment you wake up, be aware of your posture. Then be mindful of everything you do. Then pay respect to Triple Gem. Do your meditation again. If you need to wash up, brush your teeth, etc., do it mindfully. Then go to your altar to develop some form of meditation and loving kindness, chanting or radiation. After that, whatever you do, like preparing your breakfast and taking your breakfast, develop mindfulness. If you find it difficult, you can start with the mindfulness of your four posture. Then slowly connect them with your other movements to develop the awareness of all the in-between movements and activity within your daily life. You have to do all this. Before you go out of the house, pay respect to Triple Gem and have faith. Every time you pay respect with your palms, there is an energy that goes to your heart. Initially, your heart area has not opened up. Sorry, initially your heart area has to open up first, because if your heart area is not sensitive, I realize that it's not easy to cultivate, but you cannot be mindful from there. When you are not able to open up your heart area, you will not be sensitive to detect energy. You cannot even be aware of your heart area. So you tend to use your brain and your thoughts more. Reason why you think a lot, and very few people can develop the faith until their heart area open up. Every time you pay respect with faith, there is an energy going in without you knowing it, if you are not sensitive. But later on, it will become sensitive, and then you can feel a lot of things from there. The awareness from there can actually speed up your cultivation, because the true sati starts from there. Every time you lapse into heedlessness, like while doing anapanasati or what, you bring it back. Then you determine to be aware by coming back to your heart area. From here, you're aware of outside. Everything you do, aware from there. If you train it this way, sooner or later, one day, you will come to realize that your mind is now different. You can every time from inside develop awareness of outside. Everything you do from inside your heart area, you aware. You can see and trace back via recollection of mind. Then all this daily religious routine, whether you are working or doing your daily chores, you have to maintain mindfulness even while driving. So that part needs to be stabilized and established. That's why it's a full-time job. I used to use this word, but it doesn't mean that you have to retire from your career. Full-time job here means to meditate full-time, to be aware full-time. You don't have to retire, which also means in the midst of your working life, you can also develop mindfulness. That's what I meant by full-time cultivating. Otherwise, one of the Kayamita about 10 years ago at that time, she thought when I say meditation is a full-time job, she approached me and talked to me and said, "But Theo, I still need money. I still need to survive. So how can I retire?" I said, "Who asked you to retire?" She said, "You say it's a full-time job." I said, "Full-time job means whether you are working or not working, you are full-time developing the training of the mind to be aware or mindful. And this is what meditation is all about. It doesn't mean that you have to retire from your career. No. If you need to work, you work. If you have to work, you work. If you can afford not to work, then it's your decision. You can either semi-retire or retire. But whatever you do, whether you retire or semi-retire or working, you can still cultivate. Cultivation is about developing continuous mindfulness or awareness. And this is what the real meditation or cultivation is all about. So develop this understanding so that you are clear. Then your focus is there. By doing that, you won't get lost again. Otherwise, this question keep on coming up because it's from the thought. The thought wants to know whether I'm doing it right or not. It has nothing to do with right and wrong. It's like if you want to learn something, take for example cooking or whatever. You can read up the theory, but as long as you don't try it out, try out the actual cooking, it's all theory, not much use. Do you understand? If once a while you cook, then you ask people to try to taste it, and you ask them, does it taste good? If they say yes, then you know you have done it already. Then you become complacent. And then you write down the formula. True knowledge, to remember how you do it. That is not a skillful cook. A skillful cook doesn't need anything. That manual only serves as a guide initially. And he knows that all those things that are mentioned in the book are based on the assumption. Because all these are just guidelines. It is not rigid. And ultimately, because everywhere the source of those ingredients are different. The cucumber, the onion, the vegetables you buy, the oil you use, all these ingredients may come from different places and they are bound to be different. Do you understand? And the way you understand the instruction is also very important. That's why everybody will cook it differently. But if you are a skillful cook, you don't need to rely on the manual. You smell, you see, then you will know how to start the cooking already. You will know how to buy the ingredient and try it out. Then after a while, they will understand how much salt to put, or depending on where you get the vegetable, etc., then how to cook, depend on your skill. That is the understanding part. You don't become rigid. You don't become knowledge-based or thought-based. Otherwise, you may go and argue with others. We are saying, the manual say cook like this. Why you go and put so much of this and that? Even though the same brand, sometimes the quality may not be the same. Do you understand? That's why you may buy from different batch. Sorry, I read again. That's why you may buy from different batches the different types of products. But for the person who cooks, the moment he smells them, he will know. He will understand already. This is not the one they use to have. That's why your skill and your understanding will make the difference. So when you have all this understanding, you are not gullible. You don't look for knowledge from others or the books. Instead, you observe and you develop the understanding. Then you try it out. The trying it out is very important. You must do it until it becomes a part of you, until you become very skillful. Until you don't need anything to guide you anymore. It's like the object of meditation. Initially, it's a skillful means to assist you to train your mind, to anchor your mind. After that, if you still use it, you cannot progress. That's why all these objects of meditation later on, you must relinquish them. Even the chanting, you have to relinquish it. So that the awareness within is always there. That's why there is no one to chant. The awareness is with the chanting as one. Nobody behind. It is the same for anapanasati. You develop it until the very subtle breathing also cease. Then no need to do already because your mind already enters sati. During that time, whatever you see, you are in sati. Whatever you smell, taste, and tactile feel, you are in sati. So that mind is very different. You must have the stability of mindfulness to have that ability. Otherwise, you cannot understand what those cultivators are trying to share with you. I realize most of you have not really understood that part. That's the reason why you all keep on getting caught in the vicious cycle, trapped inside there due to your old habitual thinking. You all are most of the time too eager to know. Do you understand? That was what happened to Sister Pamasuri last time. But now I think she's really different. She no longer has that problem. Too eager to progress may also be a problem because it's like one becomes very anxious. One wants to have the progress, but it doesn't come forth. That inside will say, well, I tried so hard, I did so much, but still not there yet. To awaken, you cannot have this type of craving inside your mind. Do you understand? The thought that has the desire to progress, to be awakened, is a craving. So it cannot happen because to awaken, the appropriate condition has to unfold. That's why you just do diligently, sincerely with faith, and don't try to know. Then when all the causes and conditions are there or in place, all of a sudden you will understand. Then when your daily mindfulness is firmly established, you will see a lot of things that you have never seen before. You will see your subtle mental intention clearly. You can also see how your sankhara arise and pass away. How upon contact, feeling arise, the condition craving. If there is no unisoul manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you can be with the moment of feeling, moment of attention or perception, moment of sankhara activity, etc. After that, no need to do anything. It's just like that all the time. Then the whole TV program and the phenomenal, your awareness will just flow with it. Everything is just a flow. It's either a specific phenomenal awareness flow. Oh, sorry, I read again. Everything is just a flow, huh? Mainly specific phenomenal awareness. That's why you can see the physical flow, the mental flow, and nature's flow. Everything is just a flow in that state of awareness. Most of the time it is in the specific phenomenal awareness. Then once a while it is in the spacious awareness without a center. Your mind is just like that. That's why it has no dwelling. No dwelling means it doesn't anchor anywhere. Means spacious awareness without a center. You don't stay anywhere. But that mind that is one with the awareness will understand what spacious awareness is. Because it is just the awareness without anything. Then whatever you want to know, it can know if you want to know. That's why we call it the mind that has no dwelling. So first train your mind until no thought. Now this one is very important. Yeah? You must stabilize your ability to be in the moment without thought. That can only happen when your mindfulness has stabilized. So first train your mind until no thought. The first hallmark of winning, wu nian. In this no thought state also, you cannot develop or arise. It means you are still not ready to develop the true or real meditation as yet, because you have yet to realize your true mind, which is the silent mind. When you are most of the time aware, means you are already ever mindful. It means most of the time you are without thought. You are just aware. Then when you perceive, you are aware. Then thought may arise, but it stops there. After that, it doesn't proliferate anymore. Then you continue with your daily life. Thought will arise, but immediately after that, it does not proliferate anymore like before, because of your wisdom and understanding. And it doesn't move like before anymore. Then it is always with the moment in pure awareness, more and more, more and more. Previously, before you have the mindfulness developed, you tend to think a lot. So this one is very true. Eh? You tend to think of many things. You are hardly aware because you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life most of the time. You think about your problem. Then you trigger all worries, anxiety, etc. Then you worry about them. And you also plan to do all those unfinished things or business that you have given importance to. Then your conditioned thinking, let's say when you are at home, you say, yeah, I need to go upstairs to take something. Then it conditions you to walk towards the staircase. But as you do that, you are not aware of your walking. And instead, you are thinking and heedlessly lost in thought. And you are not aware of what you are doing. That thought conditions you to go upstairs. Then as your body turns to go upstairs, you are not mindful or aware. You are still thinking. And when you reach the staircase, your thought asks, why am I here? Then you recall, oh, I am supposed to do something. That's why I am here. You are not mindful. When you are mindful, all these things cannot happen because you are with the moment. But when your thoughts are ahead of your action and activity, that's how you become heedless and you think a lot. And the thought is ever proliferating ahead of our action. And you are hardly aware because you are not mindful. Hence, you think a lot. Human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they are never with the moment to truly live life, to be aware of what is happening within the moment. That's why I always advise, whatever you need to do, write it down, so that you don't have to use so much of your memory, so that you don't have to retrieve it to the memory via your thinking. Just write it down, very simple. Then the mind doesn't have to worry about it, because it is all already written down, and you won't forget. Do you understand? What are the things you need to do? You just write it down. Then it saves you a lot of memory because no need to remember anything. Then when your brain doesn't register, it means your brain has space. Like this table. If you don't have anything on the table, or like this altar, the last time I commented, it was very crowded with the offerings and fruits and all those things, until you cannot move around. There is no space at all. And do you know what all these items are. The analogy is, these are equivalent to your rites and rituals, your belief system, your pantang, and your superstition, etc. But they limit your movement, your freedom. They tie you to your conditioning. Just like those pantang that your mother might have told you or said to you, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. And on the seventh lunar month of the Chinese calendar, you cannot go out. We are, it's a Hungry Ghost Festival, etc. So these things create fear in you. Then at that time, it so happened next week is the seventh of the Chinese lunar month. Means month seven. And that is the month when all the hell beings have been released. This is what people believe. And you all believe that. So your memory of what your mom told you will put fear in you. And with that, you tend to put fear into others too, due to your this pantang or belief. That's why you have fear. That's how you have fear. When you accumulate all these things that you are holding on in your brain, in your mundane mind, you don't have space. And since thoughts are response to memory, you will think a lot until there is hardly any space between your proliferating thought, because you are lacking in mindfulness. It becomes worse if you also accumulate all your psychological fear. Now, this part is very important. If you go and accumulate all your psychological fear, phobia, worry, anxiety, misery, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation, etc., including your insecurity and your scars of memory, you did deposit and cling on to all these things in your memory. And since thoughts are response to memory, this wrong thought will keep on arising to haunt you. That's why if you don't straighten your view and clear off all this rubbish through the daily mindfulness, direct seeing or wisdom, your brain will continue to not have space, because you will cling and hold on to all these things via your delusion. The memory can be there, but they are not on the tables. That is, your mind is not clinging on to them. Do you understand? Your brain is free to move. The mind that understands doesn't have rites and ritual or pantang or belief system, etc. It's just aware. Thing is just the way it is. You just manifest, move freely, without restriction. No need to worry about this and that. And who say what? You just act according to wisdom and understanding. We are following the Noble Eightfold Path factors. If you have right view, you will do the right thing. If you don't have right view, you will do the wrong thing. That's why the use of thought is very important. Without right view, without wisdom, you don't know how to use thought. Then there is delusion. That's why all the thought become wrong thought, because the user of thought is deluded. That's why the ego, the selfishness, the emotions, and the anger, the hatred, the fear, worry, and anxiety, all this exists because of the atta or ego. Without the atta or the ego, who is having fear? Nobody, right? Who is selfish? Nobody. And there is nothing, it's just a form of mind for us to use. So I use it. There is no more about the me. It's about the law of karma. That's why this one, the form and mind, has a duty. It is subject to karma. So it cannot simply do things. Am I violating the law of karma? If so, the karmic nature is affected. Then this form and mind will have to inherit all those karmic things, because you are born of it and to it, conditioned and supported by it. This is what wisdom is all about. This is right understanding. So if you can't, so you act according to wisdom, not according to your memories, which are your conditioning, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, and all those rubbish. That's why there must be space or awareness. Space within thought. When there is space, there is freedom. When there is space, there is no thought. No thought means no fear, no anxiety, no sorrow, and no lamentation. Then there is peace, there is tranquility, there is stillness, there is clarity. This is understanding. That's why this one can awaken. This one can insight into the three characteristics of nature. I have just sent out the transcript done by my daughter, Sui, for our last Thursday class sharing. It's all there. And when you read it, read through it with understanding, reflect and contemplate until very, very clear. Until you understand it clearly, then you just do. Don't ask any more questions after that. Not to say you cannot ask, you can ask, but only ask after you have done it, done the cultivation correctly. Otherwise, you will continue to get trapped in the same way. Ask means ask those questions which are relevant to cultivation. When you have already understood the cultivation, you just go ahead and cultivate. Then as you cultivate, you will encounter other type of questions. Those questions are more useful and relevant. Just like Sister Adeline's question just now. Because she has done that cultivation, then she wants to understand how to overcome duality. Do you understand? Her daily mindfulness is already established. What she needs is the wisdom part. That's why I explained just now. Duality is to be understood. When you have understood via the direct seeing, you don't have to do anything. You only need to develop the wisdom to understand that this duality pertains to the mundane world. Just like what I had explained just now. Duality is for the mundane world, the conditioned arising world, where this is created by the mundane mind. So within the mundane mind, the conditioned world, duality exists. And you have to accept that fact. People will talk that way, human beings will behave that way, they will arise all this. But when you understand, is our duality, convention of society for living beings who don't have the wisdom and the Dhamma understanding, then you can be free from them. Because if you already have the wisdom, then this duality doesn't apply to you. Do you understand? People are just the way they are. That's why only wisdom free. Then you are not attached to duality because you understand that right and wrong are conventional society. When I can see something as they are, accept them for what they are, my mind is free. The world is the world. Human beings are just the way they are. With this understanding, which is wisdom, my mind liberates from duality. This is the second aspect of the middle path. You can transcend duality because the wisdom will allow you not to be caught in duality within the phenomenal world of existence created by the mundane mind through delusion. So you will know how to use the form and mind, but it is for you to use. For you know this is not real, not you. That's why you can use it accordingly. And you will also know how to do your duties within. This is what enlightenment is all about. That's why when you cultivate correctly, you will come to understand this part which most of them haven't understood yet. That's why you can ask this question, this type of question, which is the correct question. But if you don't have the initial cultivation of the daily mindfulness, you cannot ask this type of question. Because you haven't reached the cultivation to ask this question. That's why it is the same for Sister Ingby. When reading my earlier outline short note, she can ask regarding the Noble Eightfold Path, concerning the mundane cultivation, leading to the realization of the supramundane. That's why they can ask those types of questions. And both of them are doing the daily mindfulness. They have done it until their daily mindfulness is already very stable for quite a while already. If you don't believe, you can go and ask them or check up with them. So this is how the cultivator or cultivation differs. When you understand, you just get on with it. Then you will progress because understanding and you will transform. Oh, sorry. I read again. So this is how cultivation differs. When you understand, you just work on it. Then you will progress, become different, become different, and you will transform. But when you don't understand, you will continuously entangle yourself within the same cocoon of non-understanding, because you cannot break free. So listen to it, reflect, contemplate, write it down, understand them, and then just do. All these are the same messages that have been given to you all since the early days until now. It's the same message, because if you have the understanding, my nature will know. My nature will further advise you on how to develop the cultivation after that. So work on the daily mindfulness. Get it on. Then after that, you will ask different questions. After that, you will come and thank me for what I have advised you. That daily mindfulness, once stabilized, you will become completely different. Your knowledge is all gone because you now can see different things. Your mindfulness will allow you to see a lot of things because your mind has become very sensitive, fully aware. Then all of the mental intention, everything else, like starts to slow down. Your thought process, your sankhara activity, too, will like slow down. Otherwise, you cannot progress. What is progress? The paticca samuppada or dependent origination's first tooling of avijja paticca sankhara. What is avijja? Avijja is ignorant. What is ignorant? Not understanding the truth, isn't it? So dependent on ignorance, what arises? Sankhara. What is sankhara? Yes, mental activity. You think a lot because you don't understand. So one thing to know, one thing to experience, you think. That's why as long as this avijja link is not weakened, you cannot be mindful in the midst of life. Do you understand? That's why you need to straighten your view. First, it's through pariyati, means understanding the teaching, so that you know what memory is, what the psychological memory is, what are the things that you accumulate. That cause you, sorry, what are the things that you accumulate that cause you to have this heedless thinking. Then the essential Dhamma, which I have explained to you before, because you lack five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances keep on arising to stir your mind and make you heedless. That's why Sankara That's why Sankara continuously arise. So what you are supposed to do in meditation is to train your mind to decondition this heedless thinking. This means you have to work on the five spiritual faculties. Because when the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrances are gone. But this is what most people cannot do because they cannot get the sati right. They can get sada and virya right, but for sati, they cannot get it right. So they need to work on sati. That's why all the training, whether mind sweeping method, anapanasati, the chanting and the bowing, etc., is to train the daily mindfulness, to anchor the mind, then to stabilize it until it's part of you, until you are ever mindful in the midst of life. That part, you all have not done, most of you all have not done. That's why you cannot understand. You all have to do that. Once that one is done, your views will all change because you can see things very clearly now. You can put the Dhamma to test. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 will stand up to investigation very clearly. So I have to avoid Dhammapada verse 1 and be heedful to follow Dhammapada verse 2. Then I have to arise a four-eye effort to purify. Otherwise, your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, conditioning, wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, will continue to arise. That's why you must have the right effort to abandon, to prevent it from arising. When you are not mindful, you cannot prevent it from arising. It's only when you have understood what the evil roots are, what is greed, what is hatred, and what is delusion, and understand all this very clearly, then your daily mindfulness, then in your daily mindfulness, you can see them. Then only you can develop the ability to abandon them. How to abandon them? The five ways as taught by the Buddha. The meditative way, which are the third and the fourth ways, are most effective. So do it. Then your mind will become different. Do you understand? Then whenever anger arises, you understand. Anger is not you, because it is conditioned arising mind state. So try it out. Go in and silence your mind and stay with the anger. Then when it ceases, you will understand. No wonder the Buddha said, anger is not me, because anger is dependent originating. Then you have to trace the origination factor. Why did you get angry? It's from your senses, from your memory. Then how to reverse it? You have to have the right view, part of the direct seeing, seeing things as they are. What does it mean? Can you accept them for what they are? Then the next thing you see, the next time you see people whom you don't like, your mind didn't stir anymore. Do you understand? This is how you straighten your view. When you have less and less of this mental hindrance, your brain will not stir like before. You become more and more calm, more and more peaceful. Then you will have more and more clarity, less and less of this wrong thought, sankara activity. That's how you improve and progress. When your daily mindfulness improve and stabilize, your thought will become less. Avijja paccaya sankara link is weakened or attenuated. That's how you progress. Not by asking questions like, am I doing it right or wrong? If I am equally gullible like those other teachers who don't have the awakening, then I also may, like some of them, comment by saying that you have done well, then you will also become gullible. Do you understand? Sometimes you will also quote your teacher saying that you already have reached such and such a level of jhana or level of insight called jnana, and you have already done well up to this jnana or level already. Please forget about all this rubbish. Do you understand? Are you really living the life of a noble one with the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factors? If you still don't have any of those Noble Eightfold Path factor, it means you are still far away in your cultivation. You cannot even maintain your right thought, right speech, right action, and the right livelihood in the midst of life. You cannot even develop the stability of mindfulness to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness in the midst of life, which means you are nowhere near to the enlightenment as taught by the Buddha. Without all this, your enlightenment factors cannot come about. These seven factors of enlightenment, the main one, will keep arising if you have done it correctly. If you are not mindful, which means you still don't have sati, the stability of it, then you obviously cannot investigate Dhamma. Do you understand? When you cannot investigate Dhamma, you cannot have virya to drive you, because it doesn't stand up to investigation, and you cannot understand. But when you have sati, first factors of enlightenment, to investigate into Dhamma, means Dhamma Vichaya, which is the second factors of enlightenment, and it stand up to investigation, then you will come to realize that the Buddha's teaching is so beautiful. Then your virya, which is the third factor of enlightenment, will arise. That's how the spiritual faculty can bring about the seven factors of enlightenment, starting with sati, then Dhamma Vichaya. Then after that, your faith strengthened. Then virya arise. And when there is virya, you will continue to cultivate diligently. Then piti, the fourth enlightenment factors, will arise. Then when piti arise, if you continue to relax and silent paucity, the fifth enlightenment factor will arise. Of course, you may also go through sukhang, blissfulness of mind. Paucity is a silent mind, which you must develop, the stability of mind, the silent or meditative mind, the true mind. Then with paucity developed, you will experience the tranquility and stillness of mind leading to the realization of the true mind. Then when it's connected, your whole understanding becomes different. After that, you can stabilize that paucity until it becomes samadhi, the sixth enlightenment factor. Until this mind is unwavering and collected, then in the midst of life, all the moments of seeing, at the moment of seeing, hearing, taste, smell, and tactile, and thought process, whatever that arises through your sense of consciousness, this samadhi will prevent it from stirring and reacting. That's why it can stay there, observe, see things as they are, the reality of what is. There are no words. Then you just understand. So one day, when you have contemplated and reflected enough, your stability of this second turning wisdom is already established, then it will awaken. Then suddenly you will be able to insight in the phenomena. The three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta will suddenly be very clear to you. Everything in this conditioned world, every phenomena, may it physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they all exhibit these three universal characteristics. Then you start to see very clearly that every phenomena is also like that. Everything is also like that, both within and without. That's how you awaken. Therefore, you can... Sorry, I read again. Otherwise, you cannot understand. This type of understanding is very important, which means from that understanding of what meditation is, you just work on it. Just do and don't try to know. Okay? This is important understanding of the cultivation. Sorry. I read again. This important understanding of the cultivation is not only for you, it's for everybody. Especially for those who have not yet developed the stability of daily mindfulness. This way is not difficult if you give it a try. But it demands a lot of sincerity and hard work, which means diligence, faith, and perseverance. Meaning, don't be afraid of failure. Do you understand? Failure is very common. Everyone also needs to start from somewhere. You look at Thomas Edison, how he discovered electricity. He failed almost 1,000 times. He tried everything. And every time he failed, he continued to persevere. Then finally, he hit it right. Because he was waiting for the lightning to strike. And then he realized that the lightning flash is actually electricity. That's how he discovered electricity. Do you think it's easy to discover electricity? How many of you are science students? Nobody. Now I ask you a question. If you don't have your textbook, your physics book, to help you, and you have to go by first principle to find out for yourself such thing as electricity. To generate electricity, also you don't understand, because this thing is not known before Thomas Edison's time. Do you understand? I can tell you it's not easy to discover electricity. That's why you need people with inquiry mind. Because he looked at the lightning. He saw the light flashes through. Then he knew it went down somewhere. That's why he tried. Then he became successful. Then he came to realize that electricity can be generated via magnetic field and copper wire. And later, how to create the generator to generate electricity. How through the battery you can also create electricity. And so on. So this is science. Do you understand? So it is more or less the same for spiritual cultivation. When you inquire, when you develop the mind that has this ability to be aware, it can understand many things. That's why those with a spiritual understanding, they can progress further and faster, way, way beyond. And that's why the Bodhisattva way is a very, very extensive cultivation. What you have learned is just a handful of leaf enough for sainthood, normal sainthood way enlightenment. That day, who was it who asked me about the handful of leaves? Ah yes, it was Brother Song. The question was very good. The handful of leaf is just the essential dhamma needed to awaken the normal living beings to the sainthood way, to realize up till arahant stage. Beyond the handful of leaf cultivation is the Bodhisattva way leading to the perfection of cultivation to realize Sammasambuddhahood. These are like the leaves in the forest, on the trees in the forest, and comparatively, the handful is very easy to cultivate, not that difficult. But the other way is very extensive and very comprehensive, and it looks very difficult. But when you understand, it is not difficult. When you understand your vows, when you understand, your vows will take you along. Your affinity with the great beings and their vows will take you along too. And what you only need is to have sincerity of heart, faith, and perseverance, and then everything will flow. That's why I say, don't try to know, just do. Initially, plant the seed of Bodhi, determine strongly to have the understanding, to have the Bodhi mind, so that this Bodhi mind, when it's strongly planted, it will take deep root. Then every life you arise because of your vows planted via the first stage of Bodhi mind development. It will recall all of your vows, your right views, and whatever aspiration you have made. Then every life you come, whether there is sasana or no sasana, these understandings are always there. This is what you need to do this life, so that you won't miss out on this window, so that all of your future lives coming will be taken care of. And you are so lucky to have this teaching. That's why if you allow this minute window to slip by, I can tell you, you have to wait very, very long, as stated in the opening verse, for starting a Mahayana Sutta. For 500 million aeons, you may not even come across this true teaching. It is not easy, okay? I think you have, I think we have to end early today, as I supposed to attend dinner this evening. Oh, that was that time, huh? So, and, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then that one is sharing of merits, transfer of merit. Huh? That one, we leave it. Huh? We stop here. Relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. Stabilize it. Huh? Remember the four support. Relax, aware, stability or awareness, then trust. Yeah. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Yeah. Try to maintain whatever mind state that you have developed. The inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Make use of this mind state. This is a meditative mind state that you have trained to live life, to develop the stability of daily mindfulness, so that you are heedful in the midst of life. Okay, now we will continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, or any Dhamma sharing based on one's experience, Dhamma in daily life, so that other people can learn.
Amitabha, Brother Dio, Mrs. Yeah, Dio, and yes. Kayamitas, and thank you to Sister Lee for nominating me. Actually, Brother Dio, that day, what I wanted to share was because of the Brother Chin Hao question about Anapanasati,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So
yes.
After I shared on the Anapanasati,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was very good. What you shared was very good. Yeah, you can recall how you did it. Then you advise Chin Hao a lot of things. One of them is the Anapanasati will finally take you to your heartbeat. It will go down there.
Correct.
So that was very good. Yeah.
Yes. That was a very, very, how to say it, interesting sharing, because when
very
I shared
important
that, right,
sharing.
when I shared that, right, after finish sharing the next day, you know, I wanted to recall what I shared. Actually, I couldn't
You
remember
cannot.
what I shared, you
You
know.
cannot on.
I
You
cannot,
cannot.
know. I cannot. And then after that, I said, well, luckily it's recorded. So I said, I will listen to
Very
it.
good.
So when I listened to it again, I said, oh, this is what I shared. But
Yeah.
then I also realized that the voice was a lot weaker and softer. So I asked Brother Jin Hao, what happened? How come the recording so poor? Then he told me, I don't know whether he got say anything to anybody. But anyway, I messaged him and he messaged me back lah. Then he said the connection between the laptop and the I cannot remember what he said, but anyway, he said there was some technical issue lah. Then
One wonder.
he fixed it back. Actually, there's no voice from my side, you know, at all,
Oh.
zero, you know, totally
Oh.
no
But we can hear you.
voice.
So if he has the recording in the computer,
No, he used the
yes, he
voice
cannot.
recorder. He used the
Now
voice
voice
recorder.
recorder, to retrieve it.
To retrieve, and then he just patch back lah. He do the patching back and things like that.
That
So
was helpful.
I said, fortunately, that was available. If not, I totally cannot hear at all. It's zero, you know.
Oh, that's why
And
we
zero
need the
cannot hear.
recorder.
My part not totally no voice, you know, no sound, you
Oh,
know. No
that's
sound
why
at
we
all.
need the recorder. Yeah, luckily.
Yeah, so he got this backup lah, backup recorder, you know.
Sadhu,
Wow,
sadhu,
then I said, wow, sadhu to him, man. It's meant to be also lah, you know. I also can listen again, what did I say, you know. You know,
And when you listen again, you yourself also will be very surprised. How come that time all this understanding is there? Because you already have it when you experience it the earlier one.
Correct.
And this one, no need memory on. When there is vision, you will speak one direct from your nature. It will come out one.
Yes. I
This
think
one is
that's
very
all because
amazing.
it comes to your nature. It's not that I'm the one talking, you know. It's
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah, yeah.
I want to know what did I say. I totally cannot know what I say, you
Definitely,
know.
where it's not from memory on.
Yeah, it's not
It
from
just
memory. So,
come out from that nature.
Yes. That's what I was saying. It was so beautiful, you know. When I listened again, you know, I was so
The
amazed
flow
in that
is
sense.
very different on from that
Yes.
nature one. That's why you
Yes.
were very excited, I remember.
Yes. Yes.
You very eager to share that part where you know it was beautiful and it's going to help a lot of
It's
people.
also not from me, you know, Brother Teo. It's also not from me that it's from the nature that shared. And then when I want to recall, I also cannot remember
Cannot,
what did I
cannot,
say, you know. Yeah. So then when I listen again, it was so beautiful. And then I noticed
very beautiful.
the
Then
sound is also different.
it will give you the condition to recall what you experienced in the past. That's why last time I went through also same. At first, I wanted to make a note, write it down. Then I later on realized, no need. Got condition means it will be there, no condition, just let things be. Then that thing inside, the moment that nature understands through the direct seeing and the awakening, it's always there or no? That's why whenever people ask me question, I like the spontaneous one. Because the spontaneous one you ask, immediately my nature reply on. It's not from memory. No need to prepare anything. And that one, a lot of people realize, very few people can do it. That's why those who listen to my sharing, they will know. Even monks also told me that. That time I remember there were two monks, one from Burma, the other one from Canada. He said, Brother, you're very good. You ask him, he can answer very well. Because the interview during the second session is any topic on, impromptu one, then the nature will manifest and just answer. And the way he answer is very beautiful one. Very, very beautiful one. That's why you need to have this understanding so that later on in your cultivation, as you stabilize all this understanding, then you develop the ability to understand all this happening. Then when your nature manifests to share, you will know all this is what Dhamma is. If it's meant to be, it will be. If it's not meant to be, it will not manifest on. But the nature already has the understanding one. Then I realize when I encounter something, I know what to do on. My nature know what to do on. It know how to act on. That's why this is spontaneous. Yoniso manasikara. At the moment of sense experience, that nature act. It doesn't act from memory. When you try to remember and share, it's very different. It cannot come on. So a lot of people don't have that understanding. So they got that fear that they may not remember. So they tend to like write it down or prepare something. But you realize if you do that, that thing that come out is not natural. The flow, everything is not natural. It's like when you read the script and you actually develop the understanding, then you share, not from the script one, the flow is very different. So all these are very beautiful understanding and sharing. Good, Po Cheng, you should continue. After that, what happened?
Yes, so it was... I mean, I was very joyful that, you know, that this thing just happened by itself in natural way. It wasn't like from memory or anything. That's why I cannot remember anything.
Yeah.
And I have to go back to the, the video recorder to listen. Yes.
That's why sometimes I also go back and listen. Then I was amazed. Wow, how can I just at that moment cover all these things? Then sometimes I also come to realize that it's not only the human listening, it's for the non-humans. Because certain type of understanding, not the audience that the human beings can understand one, is beyond one. Then sometimes the nature will also know, is asked by somebody else one. Then it will know how to manifest that understanding and explanation to benefit those beings, like during the Buddha's time. The devas and all those things, they will come, then they will ask that appropriate question on behalf of many.
And on that day, at least from my side here in Singapore, the sound is very clear to me, you know, when I was talking,
I
and Brother Teo is talking, I can hear very clearly.
Class.
But
yeah.
when you listen to the recorded audio, it's very soft, you know.
Oh.
I was thinking, what happened? Why is my voice so soft? I don't recall that, you know.
So that's
what Brother Jinho told me, what happened, you know, in the recording, you know. So that is so interesting in the sense that despite the problem, he was able to resolve and save the day by having the recorded audio, you know, the backup.
Correct.
So it was very, very fortunate as well, you know, that it was safe. Coming back to this the second part that I wanted to share, right, because of the question that was talk about was Anapanasati, then I know a lot of people also very interested on this Anapanasati, especially like Brother Chin Hao, because he also do Anapanasati, and then for me, because I also started with Anapanasati, so I cultivate this Anapanasati meditation, right? Initially, so I want to talk about the initial part of it, you know. I did mention to Brother Theo that I had leg pain, you know, leg pain Cameron Highland, in Cameron
correct,
Highland.
Correct,
So, before I went to Cameron Highland, actually the year 2016, I was meditating at home. That is the first time I started learning meditation at home. So I started and I told Brother Theo I wanted to attend a one-day retreat. And then, practice at home, and then, of course, I attended, before that practice, I actually attended the Kong Ming San so-called relaxation meditation course, by the abbot of Kong Ming San. So I went to the temple and do the meditation. So I mean, there are like 100 of people there, you know, attend. It's a big hall, a big temple that, the abbot teach. So I just want to give these explanations kind of like to explain to all beginners and all
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
girls that are
Very,
interested. Like. It's not easy, you know, to meditate actually when I first started. I just want to tell them it's not easy. It's not like Zoom, you know, you become very good in your meditation. It's not like that one. No. It is just like a baby started to crawl, you know. It is tough, lor, because baby don't know how to walk. They start to crawl and fall and things like that. So for me, I also went through the same kind of suffering, like, you know. That I first started the meditation, I learned and I sit there and my pain start to come, you know, like 5 minutes into the sitting meditation, wow, the pain come and then get worse and worse, you know, until you cannot take it, you will move, you will move around. Lah. Today, I want to talk about the pain in the meditation, Brother, because I know when we start off with Anapanasati, because you are doing in a sitting position, it's very painful.
It will
very
develop
painful.
The constriction of energy flow, then the pain will develop.
So the
It's
pain will
because
develop.
the relaxation not deep enough. They don't have the training yet. They don't know how to relax their leg. That's why the pain will develop.
Okay, so the pain developed, right? But when I look at other people that is sitting there meditation, like statue like that, but it gives me a lot of faith, you know, a lot of faith that, wow, people can do it, so can I, like, you know, the kind of thing. So that's why I want to go to the temple to sit together with the rest of the people, you know, the cultivators or the beginners, whoever, you know, they come and sit there. Because I ever talked to a few ladies, they come to the class also. I say, why do you all want to come here? It's at night, you know, at night you want to rest at home after work. So why you come? For me, I really not working, so I come okay, but I actually prefer to do it in the daytime, but nighttime, since I want to learn, I have to come, you know. But for these people, after work, they come, I say, why don't you, you know, stay at home, rest? And, no, we like to come and meditate in the temple because, you know, it gives them the faith, you know, the discipline and the faith, you know, that other people can do it, so can they. You know, just like me, lah, you know, we have this kind of same mindset that everybody come here because we want to learn something, you know, that we can do it also. Lah. But Brother Teo, I tell you, seriously, there are those meditators that sit in front of me, wow, very good one. Every time I open my eye, Brother Teo, I mean, at least through my eyes, lah, my eyes perceive, they never move at all. Every time I open my eye, they never move. One, no. They are still the same, like very still, you know, like a very good meditator, you know, to me it's very good meditator because I keep moving and in pain, is it? But they are very steady, you know, very calm and very peaceful. So probably they can do it and they are good meditators from my perception at that point in time in 2016. So it gave me a lot of faith that I can do it also, you know. Slowly I learn. So after that I wanted to attend the National Day meditation, you know. The one day, lah. So I said, I must do like 1 hour sitting, 1 hour walking, 1 hour sitting, 1 hour walking.
Yeah, that is very good training.
Yes, it's a good training. So I train at home. That is when I told Brother Teo what happened to my meditation. So that is what happened. Okay, I sit there and then after that, develop the... But before that, actually, I always do at home, like 10 minutes, 15 minute meditation, very short one, Brother Teo. I cannot do long because my leg pain, correct?
Correct,
right? Yeah.
Initially,
Yes. So initially, I'm telling all meditators, beginners especially, you have to endure this and you have to keep doing.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, you have to keep doing, you cannot stop. See it through, you know, have to break it through. So I'm doing the 10 minute, 15 minute, 20 minute,
Must extend until at least 45 minutes.
Minute, then slowly. So in this case for me, because I don't have time already, I have to sit through the 1 hour. So before I sit through the 1 hour, I say, die, I must sit through it like the Buddha, because I read the book,
sadhu.
Buddhism for beginners, that part that the Buddha actually sit through under the Bodhi tree, he also say, whatever happened to me, I don't care, you know,
even
whether I die
until the sinus dry out or whatever, it will not arise until
correct. So I had that thought, you know, that appear before I sit the 1 hour, then I set my alarm 1 hour, you know. So as expected, the pain come, the pain come and develop into
very, very intense point.
Yes, very, very intense, until very intense. But
But when
Radio.
you determine to see it
Yes.
through, something will happen.
Correct, exactly. But Radio, I must tell Pamitas and beginners, it's not like as if the first time you do, you can. No. Actually,
Yeah,
I went
you
through
have to
so many
try it a few
times
times.
already. Yeah, many times already before this, you know. It's not like, wow, suddenly it can happen. No, it's not like that one, no. You know,
Yeah,
for me, like, at
because
least for me, huh?
remember when I
Yeah.
was doing it in 1986, that time is Acayantra, remember the eight precept weekend retreat, 2 day, three day, two night. So that time, the pain was so strong, it reached a point where you were like, most people who cannot take it will panic and fear. But it triggered off my thought also. No? He said, you continue, you may paralyze. Oh, that time I was ready, you know. Then I said, paralyze, lah, nothing. I just see it through. Oh, then when I determined to see it through, that thing just flashed through. And after that, I understand everything. Because that shift in consciousness is very important, because the mundane mind that actually been tormented by the attachment and the craving and the thought is the one that hinders, because indirectly there is this fear accumulated inside, that pain, that rejection, that aversion. That's why after that I realized, once I determine, I am willing to let whatever will be, I just go for it. Then I realized that thing immediately resolve itself, then that shift can happen. Because you got no more accumulated hidden fear. You wanted to do it through a determination. That's why it's that aditan. Then when I did that, the whole thing happened. Then after that, the shift in consciousness, the transformation is so amazing. Then the brightness, the light, the virya, the mind becomes so bright. Then the awareness suddenly becomes, then I was so amazed. The pain no more. Everything no more. Then I was telling myself, how come it's so amazing? Then the mind become like very, I should say, very brave. No? Then I want to know what happened, how come like that. Then I went down and checked. No? Then the awareness was so sharp at that place, I realized that whole thing that was causing the constriction clear. No? But I can still feel the pulling sensation and all those things that is still like within there. But most of them clear already. Then I relax further into it. I realize completely gone. Completely gone. Even that slight sensation also no more. Of course, the major pain, all the pain thing, the shift, when it flashed through, the whole thing gone. No more. Then like a clotted pipe, suddenly the flow becomes very smooth. Then that nature understand by itself, no, that it is due to our inability to relax and the accumulated fear that hinder our physical body to create this type of sensation for our mind not to go through. And that is the mundane mind. Then the one that flashes through is the true mind. Then I saw the mind is the mind. The body is the body. That's why the two are different. Oh. Then I understood what my teacher Acayantra told me. He said, body is just a body. Mind is mind. Mind never the body. Body never the mind. But body and mind must harmonize to develop the meditation to enable us to cultivate and to live life and to develop understanding. That's why that understanding manifests. Then later on, when I read the jnana, the first jnana, Pariccheda, Namarupa Pariccheda jnana, means ability to discern clearly between form and mind. Mind is mind, form is form. Then only I realized there is a second level of understanding, which is the penetrative one after I went through the experience. The initial one is what most of the Burmese monk or book write. You able to differentiate between the normal mind, means the thinking mind, they say. The thinking mind knows that the body is a body, the mind is a mind, these two are separate. That one is at the superficial level, it's not the real jnana. The real jnana is not from knowledge. When it flashes through, then you really check. The awareness has got no thought process or nothing. It's just not that. Then it is not linked, not connected to the body. Then there is no craving, force, no feeling, nothing. It's just that thing. That's why the pure awareness is just there. So all those were so amazing. That's why it's so beautiful. Sadhu. So you continue. Putting, yeah.
Yes. So, Bharatiya, so coming back to my incident of that experience, right? So it's slightly different from Bratio, but I'll come back to Bratio's explanation.
No, no problem.
That,
yeah. Yeah.
For
everyone
my case,
is different.
Yes,
one.
Yes, yeah. Correct, correct, correct. But I will explain another part that I had later
good.
Part in my meditation. But for the first time when I had that, right? So I endure the pain, but I don't have any bad thought. My only thinking was that I have to do it, like, you know,
yeah.
die, I must do it, you know, but
yeah,
that
yeah.
is my word, like, my
yeah.
thought, die, must
yeah.
do, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
huh?
yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I just, because I never experienced 1 hour of meditation before, so, but anyway, I said, I will do, like, since everybody can do it, you know,
yeah.
I will be able to do it, so die, I will do it. So I sit through it, the pain get worse and worse and worse, but relative, my anapanasati safe.
Yeah.
The day, lah. So
yes.
The anapanasati, right, bring me out of it, and then a flash went through, huh?
Yeah.
A flash went through, and then I was outside. I no longer have the body no more pain. I mean, I don't have the body, I don't feel
yeah,
the pain
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just right, it's just the mind level. The
it's
mind
just
level.
Mind alone, that true
yes,
mind,
yes.
that awareness
yes.
nature. Huh?
Yes. So anyway, I explained to Brother Teo in Cameron Highland Retreat in 2017.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Brother Teo explained to me what happened. Because I
yeah.
explained to Brother Teo, that is the part
yeah.
that I see that it's just like moving very fast and slow,
yeah.
moving fast, very fast. So
yeah.
Brother Teo was telling me I went into the infinite
formless,
space.
Formless rhyme.
Yes,
formless
rhyme.
Yeah.
So that was the
infinite
explanation.
Space, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is the explanation that Brother Teo gave me. But
yeah,
I actually share with some other teachers what happened to me, but they actually cannot explain what happened
yeah,
to
yeah,
me.
They cannot
you know?
Understand.
Yeah, they cannot understand. They don't know what
yeah.
happened. They
yeah.
they think that I they also don't know what I'm doing.
Because they haven't experienced it. That's
yeah.
why they cannot
yeah.
explain. They
yeah.
cannot answer you. Because this
yeah.
is not something that is comprehensible by them. It's beyond
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
That's why they cannot.
Yeah. yeah, so anyway, they're not able to understand what happened to me. But
yeah.
but when Brother Teo Mel tell me that, I said, oh, that is what happened. Huh? So actually,
yeah.
I read that in the Heart Sutta book that also had that.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
Arupa,
yeah.
You know, yeah, the formless
rhyme.
Jhana, the rhyme there, yes.
Mm.
So, okay, that is what happened. Huh?
Mm.
Then, Brother Teo, coming back to the meditation, that I experienced some years later, actually, some years
yeah.
later, not immediately, because I still have pain on my leg, but it's not excruciating as before. Once I went through this, right, this experience, so whatever pain happened to me, I can endure,
correct.
It's no longer
correct. You know how to deal
enough.
With it,
yes,
and
yes.
For me, it's even more amazing, because after that, pain was never a phenomenon or issue for me. You know? Straight away, I understood and I just relaxed into it and the sati just came. What happened to you was because your anapanasati was stable already, then you can actually draw the absorption. But my, although I have the anapanasati very stable, but I didn't use it. I didn't use it because I know if I use it, I will go through. Then I can forget about the pain because that calmness, the peacefulness, the pity will actually endure sustain me through. But I don't want to do. That's why I just relax and maintain awareness. Then that endurance reach a point where it really peak on, no, and it's really painful. Normal people cannot take it on. Later on, many years later, I heard one Canadian monk who went to Burma try this. He fainted for 3 days and 3 nights. Because he couldn't take it, he collapsed and fainted. But for me, I think because of my past, it flashes through. Then after that, that understanding gave my nature that profound understanding of how to deal with all this. That's why after that, from that moment 89 until now, I don't have issue like pain and all this, but I just know how to relax and all those things. Then I just know how to silence and maintain awareness and be in the natural state of peace. So this understanding is very important. So for you, you are also able to do it to the extent that there is no more excruciating pain, means the severe one. Then you will know how to attend to it through relaxation, awareness, or you go back to the anapanasati or those things. So all this you will be able to do and stabilize. Then once it's stabilized, you will come to know one day pain is no more an issue. It's no more an issue at all. Then later on, I realized I can sit in that position for 3-4 hours, you know, without moving, without doing anything. I just relax, maintain awareness. Then even when I was later on coming out to teach meditation, in fact, a lot of people who were observing me, you know, I heard them discussing at the back. I remember I went to pub to teach. I went to Jambaka. They were, I think, from other meditation places. Then they were talking to each other. They say, "You look at Pratyua. The last almost 3 hours, he didn't move at all. No, he's still in that cross-leg position." And I was still doing the teaching and the sharing and the meditation, and I never moved. So during that time, I was still young and I can do it. Then even at the Cameron Highlander, the retreat, the 9-day one, I can go through all the 9 days, no problem. But later on, there was 1 year meant to be. I was asking whether my cushion was already up the bus or not. They told me, yeah, everything up already. But actually, that year, I think, Jin Hao, they all try to help me. They want to see me carrying all those things. So they do me a favor and good job. But they forgot that cushion. No? So that year, I didn't have the cushion, no? My usual cushion. Then they gave me one, very hard one. No? Very hard one. No? Also a big one, but very hard and heavy one. After I tried that one, I still can endure, but it become very painful. It become very painful. So I don't want to be a hero already. Then I say, okay, it's okay. I just remove that one. Then I ask for, I look for a chair actually and a small table. That's how I ended up sitting on the chair at the table, because it makes my physical more able to endure the thing. Otherwise, your physical body, if it's not conducive, because I've been sitting on the cushion and all those surface that I'm used to, then suddenly it become very hard surface, which in the past I sat before on the cold solid floor. Means very cold, solid floor, means cement floor or tile floor or what. I just said, when I was young, I can. But no point, actually. That one too hard, too hard. So the cushion was actually a very good, softening thing for my body to rest on. Then I can be in that posture for very long. So all these are understanding that you will develop. So this is the part I developed through understanding that I want to share. So now, Pocheng, yours is slightly different, but finally, you will end up having the same understanding and experience, which is very good. Your sharing is very good. You continue, Pocheng.
Okay, Abhayadiyot, so now I come to the second part of the meditation of the leg one, the pain on the leg. So this one, Abhayadiyot, I have already, this is the after I already learn the how should I say, the awareness-based meditation, and I'm able to silence my mind. Okay, so this one happened in the house. I was I wake up and I do the meditation. Okay, and upon sitting down, right, I thought I would sit down, the usual thing, I would sit down and then relax a little bit, you know, stretch a little bit, relax a bit, and then sit down, but then what happened was, my leg, started to feel the cramp, you know. It's not pain, but cramp, the cramp.
I know, the muscle
started, so actually it was so immediate, but Bratio, I tell you, because of my understanding of this awareness-based meditation, so I went, I can feel the leg cramping, you know, the leg my right leg, I can feel the cramp there, here and there, you know. So it's going to develop into a pain or whatever, But before it happened,
correct,
it already
the
started,
sensation
it
will come, it will prompt you.
Yes.
Then so, it's like the sign.
Yes,
you
yes,
the sign. The sign.
Correct, correct. So I went into, straight away, I went into the silent mind, no? And
then
the silent mind, the silent mind, you know what do I see, you know? I don't see, I don't see the, I mean, not see lah. I mean, the usual, if I said I didn't go into the silent mind, I will have the pain and the excruciating or whatever. But I don't have that. I went into the silent mind, and then I see the, I don't know how to explain this.
Oh, it's like the X-ray eye that
sees. Yes. The X-ray eye that see the things inside, you know.
Everything that is happening there, the awareness is aware.
Yes, correct, correct. But it's very, Brother Theo, this is cannot be described one.
Correct,
the thing,
correct,
you know, that
correct. It's
cannot be
beyond
described
mind,
one.
Beyond thought one, that nature see.
Correct, correct.
Nature see, but when we want to describe, we need to use word.
But
it's just like X-ray, the X-ray. You don't have the negative film at the back, it cannot show out. But the X-ray really pierce through the flesh.
Yes. Yes. There's no flesh about that.
Correct.
It's that thing, the kind of particles, whatever it is, is moving, is moving, and then it's
correct. Like that time I saw the kalapas, the fast food.
Yes. I would say that's the kalapas,
the fast
the kalapas,
moving one,
yes.
The fast
it's
flowing.
Moving,
one.
Moving. But you ask me what is kalapas, I have no idea, but I know that.
I
kalapas,
also don't know that word until I heard from the there's one tradition in Burma where they teach people the jhana to see all these fast moving things.
Yes, because I know of one teacher that was in a Buddhist fellowship. She's from the Buddhist tradition one. I remember she ever said the word kalapas, you know.
Word
kalapas. So I remember that. So I mean, I suspect it is the kalapas, but I have not seen kalapas before.
They are very fast moving.
I can only call it particles. To me, it's a layman, particle. So it's the particle in the flux, keep moving, you know,
very
showing
fast
you.
Speed
yes, very fast speed one. You know, you see, you know, that kind of thing. So this is what happened to me, you know, Brother Teo. Silent mind, this is what happened, you know, when you already learn the awareness-based meditation and you're able to silence your mind. This is what you can do, long here. This is what you can do. So it's not like overnight, I'm able to do all these things, you know, but I want to give the faith in all kayamitas and beginners. If you have to go through the step-by-step in the way that you learn, you persevere, have faith, you know, persevere some more, have sincerity, don't try to know, you know, that kind of thing. So you keep it will come to you, you know. You don't even ask for it or do anything about it. It just come to you, you see.
Correct.
You know? So this is what happened to me after I learned the awareness-based meditation and know how to silence my mind.
Very good.
And this pain become like that. It's so beautiful, isn't it, Brother Teo,
Yeah,
no?
very beautiful.
Oh,
Yes,
yes. So Brother Teo, this is what it means by having the right understanding of meditation, you know. If you have the proper understanding of meditation,
correct.
you must be so patient, you know. I must tell this,
Yes,
you know. Without patience, cannot. You just cannot
correct,
do it. You must
correct.
have patience to develop the right meditation step by step, you know. You have to endure, you know, in a way.
Yeah,
If you
endure.
cannot endure anything, also cannot endure, then cannot,
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
you
You
cannot
must be,
progress. Yeah.
cannot forget. You must be able to endure, you know, able to endure with understanding, not to say you endure without understanding. It's
Yeah,
endure
you
with
are enjoying
understanding,
with
you know. But
understanding.
I also don't have the kind of fear that, wow, I will die, if I endure the pain. I
Once
don't
you
have
have
like
that,
that.
you cannot go through one.
You cannot go
That's
through,
why
right?
this type of sharing or explanation can only be given by true cultivator of the way who has done the awareness-based meditation. Because the awareness-based meditation is what we call the power of mindfulness or power of awareness. The awareness nature can develop understanding that is way beyond the normal mundane mind. The mundane mind cannot understand and cannot even perceive or see. Because it's beyond the perception, beyond thought, beyond mind. Then the awareness can actually trigger off a lot of manifestation of understanding that normal mind, mundane mind, thought-based meditation cannot experience. That's why they cannot have the insight, the understanding, the awakening. And they cannot guide and teach people the true awareness-based meditation, but they don't go through all this. So what you share is very good. Can give faith to a lot of beginners, new people, and also those who are on the path to develop further understanding and progress. So this sharing will help them. Because you were, like you mentioned, at that time you were very new. 2016, 2017 is only how many years ago? About 6 years ago. 5, 6 years ago. And at that time you were very new. Then you were also like normal people, determined, striving on very hard with the faith. And then you try everything. And finally, when you hit it, the thing just happened by itself. Like you say, without expectation, it come. When you expect, it won't happen. So all these are very, very beautiful sharing and experiences that people who has gone through only can share. Sadhu to you. Okay. Very good.
Yeah, so this is the part that I want to share about
very good.
The Anapanasati, you know, that Brother Chinhao was asking, and then the pain that every most people will suffer, you know, don't say 100%, but most people will suffer.
Everyone will have to go through one. Well, pain is a reality of the form and mind. Before you know how to relax and maintain awareness, the pain will afflict you and will actually condition you into misery. That mind, want to, the aversion towards that sensation. It's a very unpleasant sensation where we are so used to the relaxed state that is without pain that enables us to be comfortable. Then when you go into meditation, is especially the cross-legged type of sitting, which we are not used. It's not a natural state where we used to sit on stool and comfortable cushion or chair or even our satisat and all things. Then you suddenly go to the temple or you do that type of cross like anapanasati or whatever sitting. It is very different. It's going to give rise to a lot of pain. That's why a lot of people cannot go through pain because they don't know what to do. And I remember one of my video, how to overcome pain. That one, a lot of people go and listen. The number of listener for that one is very high. So a lot of people are interested. They realize they can't actually cope with pain. And pain is always a very severe hindrance to most meditators. And no matter what you do, you have to go through pain. Even Ajahn Mahabodhi, I remember, I read his book. He also mentioned how he actually endured very full of faith and severely endured, and finally he also break free. Then after that pain, no more problem to him. So all this, you can actually develop the understanding from all those cultivators who has gone through and develop the ability to transcend the so-called pain as a meditation hindrance. Because pain is an aversion, a negative, what we call sensual desire and ill will, a negative mind state, which is, we call it ill will. So it's a mental hindrance. Once you arise that, it become a hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you must determine to see it through. Then don't hold on to it and just endure. Then relax and maintain awareness. Then something will happen. Then when it happens, we need that exposure and understanding to trigger all. And then we understand. The other way is to go through what you have done. What you have done one is actually earlier on I also did it when I was in Anapanasati. My Anapanasati very strong when I went into this absorption, all those things, the stability of mindfulness. The pain also doesn't come. It also doesn't disturb me. Yeah. But later on when I heard from my teacher, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. I release my Anapanasati into normal awareness. Then I develop the sitting. Then I do the dilemma. During that time, I have to clear the pain. Because without that strong, I should say, meditative peace or pity and all those things, actually to go through pain is not easy. So most people go through pain is using absorption energy or one-pointedness, what they call jhanic calmness and peacefulness. So if you can endure through normal awareness, that is the best. Then you can understand. Then finally, when you go through, you will know how to relax. Then the relaxation is very funny. You know? The leg and your bodily posture will settle down into a state where it is in a state of balance. Then no pain, nothing, the chi flow, everything very smooth. Then whatever arise, the slightest movement, the mind like magnify. Means the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, the sensation and all those things also cannot develop into pain. Very funny. So this is what I went through. That's why I was able to develop all this understanding. Then I came out to teach and share that time. My sharing is based on all this understanding. That's why it's very different. Then normal people teach when I don't teach. Last time, when people have pain, they teach them to note pain, pain, pain. I realized that one would not work one. That's why that Canadian monk fainted and collapsed because I think he go and verbalize the pain. So the silent mind cannot come in. That's why it cannot go through. Then the other one is when you are sleepy, the sloth and tumble. People will advise, go and wash your face or get out of the meditation, go for a walk, then come back and try again or do walking, sitting. Alternate and all that. But for me, actually after I developed the understanding, I continue to apply the same thing. No? I just relax into it and be with it, no? that sleepiness, that sloth and torpor. Then again, the same thing, no? It flash through us. The sloth and torpor completely gone. No? Because that one is a mind state, it's very easy. It's not like the tactile sensation, the pain one. So when that one flashed to her, I realized the energy, the brightness of the mind, the virya, everything. It actually like root out that sloth and torpor, you know, completely gone. You know. That's why after that hindrance, I got no more problem. I know what to do. When my body is too tired, I rest. But when It's not due to the body tired. The sloth and torpor come because it want to test me last time. Then I know how to sit through it. I relax and silent and be with it. It's like anger or fear or whatever. Be with it, silent. Your awareness has this power. When you stay with it, it sees. It sees. Then it will flash through. It will move through and show you what the awareness nature is. What that true mind is. Is way beyond the thought, the thinking, the words and all that. Because it's just that nature. That's why it don't have any of the hindrance. So all gone. The understanding is very important. So this is very good sharing, huh? Sadhu, what's it?
Yeah, Sadhu, right? Your very beautiful sharing of your past experience and it is truly the awareness based meditation.
It's very different.
Yeah, very different, very amazing, and very powerful. It helps you to overcome all these so called mental hindrances that we encounter. So when I first started Anapanasati, and then when I started with after I learning awareness based meditation, my meditation is also different, I can silent, relax and silent, and went through into the silent mind, and then you overcome all the mental hindrances, and then you are able to insight into what is happening,
and the understanding allow you to understand what I say, the Heart Sutta thing,
So it's very beautiful, but we have to develop step by step, and then have to endure, persevere, have patience, and faith. All this come, you must have all this, the so-called foundation or the prerequisite stuff that you must have before you start doing it with understanding. Yes. Then your path will be very smooth and successful in that sense,
Sadhu.
So you
very
do
good.
Not need to have any expectation. It will come to you when you do it correctly.
It will happen by
come
itself.
To you. Yeah, but it happen by itself, naturally by itself.
Correct.
Yeah, this is what I want to add on to the previous sharing.
Sadhu. Very good.
Now
very good.
Yeah. And I didn't have the condition to share the previous week.
Yeah.
So thank you, Miss Lee, for nominating me again
to
continue with this sharing. And Brother, you elaborate a lot more. So it's very good to go back and listen again one more time. Hopefully the recording
to
is
this.
Okay today.
Today one is very good also.
Yes. Very good also.
Today, yeah.
Because we talk about the pain that everybody will have to endure and how
the
we can
sleepiness
overcome.
Sleepiness also. The storm and topper.
Actually, mental hindrance, you can use the awareness-based meditation to resolve it.
That one is the best. That is the best. The third way the Buddha taught on. That is the best.
Correct. Yeah. Okay, why not we have Miss Lee back for sharing again.
Yeah, Miss Lee,
Thank you.
Sadhu.
Thank you, Brother Teo.
Yeah, Sadhu. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Bo Ching and Brother Teo elaborations. But it will benefit most of us. And Brad, you mentioned about the awareness natures that actually when you have the understandings, actually the mental factors like for instance anger or pains or sloth and torpor, it is actually when you are you don't have aversion to it and you stay with that, then it will be understanding arises.
Yeah, you must not label it as such.
Yes.
When you label it, it went in the mundane mind, it accumulated.
It becomes a
fear. The aversion, the fear is very strong inside that one. But most people cannot understand because that thing that you accumulate went in very fast on. Even your dislike or unpleasant sensation or slightest or phobia or fear or insecurity, that one deposited in your memory, a very deep one, and it can become phobia on without you knowing it. That's why it's a hindrance. When it's there, your mind cannot settle down into the meditative state. The awareness cannot appear because of that movement. So like you understand is very good, but you have to stabilize it because you realize if you don't label it, then it won't become the hindrance. It won't become the negative mind state. Means you accept it, endure, and see it through. Then just develop the understanding towards what arises. Then through the awareness, the understanding will surface. The thing is just the way it is, dependent, originating, conditioned. Right? Then you will start to see. Without the labeling, without the word anger or fear or hatred or whatever, or even pain, then you realize the mental hindrance is not there. When mental hindrance is not there, it will not hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner. So what happened is, because you already have sati, sati will take over. No? When sati take over, the mind enters sati, then you realize the mental hindrance all gone. The mental hindrance all gone. Even sloth and torpor come, you stay with it. Anger, fear, worry, insecurity, or whatever, you stay with it. Even like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, sloth and torpor, you stay with it. It will flash through. Even doubt, fear, worry, same. You stay with that emotion that it will cease. Then you realize they are not intrinsic within your nature. Means your nature don't have any of this. These are dependent originating through your wrong view. You attach, you cling, and you give rise to it. The reaction of mind, the stirring, the memory, the conditioning, the belief system, the trigger of all this. And then you start to understand, you know, how our mind actually manifests, the mundane mind, and how you function as a human being. And how, when you understand all this, through the third way, you silent, then you see the dependent origination. Then you realize all this is what the Buddha say. They are not intrinsic. Pain was never you. Anger was never you. Fear was never you. Sloth and torpor was never you. All these mind states are sankhara. They were never you. Because that pure mind, that silent mind, that nature, awareness nature, is without any of this. It's just the pure nature, without words, without concept, without any mental activity or state or movement. It's just suchness, the unconditioned. That's why when you realize that, when that stabilized, you become very different. The way you understand things, the way you teach things, all become very different. That's why later on when I came out to share, I find it so easy to answer all these questions. And I can handle meditation question very well. And I know what is happening to the meditator and the cultivator, why they entangle and why they cannot bear and all those things. But to understand what I say is not easy. Well, this one needs the awareness-based meditation, the silent mind, to develop that type of understanding. So a lot of cultivators who have gone through, have developed understanding, they start to appreciate what I share, and they have a lot of joy. Therefore, Miss Lee also, you start to have some understanding, then you develop the understanding in stages. That's why just now you can share, if you don't label it as such, then it is no longer a strong hindrance. Then you can cope with it. You can go through it, but you haven't really experienced the severe pain or storm and topple and experience how you break free. That's why I say you need more understanding, stability of understanding. Then when it comes and tests you, sit through it, see through it, relax and maintain awareness to let it happen. After that, you become very different again, Miss Lee. Okay?
Yes. Then nothing I want to highlight is that this awareness, it can actually detect certain things like Brother Joe share a new approach, right?
Yeah.
In one day, I think one Sunday, when Brother Joe mentioned about how we come up from the that means to sustain the mindfulness,
yeah.
and the inner calmness, inner peace. Actually, Bratio had been repeating this many, many times.
Yeah.
But that day after the meditation, the awareness actually detect it.
Oh, sadhu.
It detect it, especially when you mentioned about the reason code, the condition dharma, and the
The unique code, yes.
The conditioned dharma.
Very good, Satu. Your condition was ready. You can receive that, and it will impact upon you. It's like the thing suddenly connect to.
Yes, but this connection, I interested in it, so I actually write it down. But Radio, I'm quite slow in do the second edition.
Oh, no problem. Take your time, because what you did was very good. You actually able to catch all the sharing that I give. You are starting to become like Ingbi last time. Ingbi last time recorded all these 160 over. That's actually very good.
Then the subsequent meditations is different from the previous one.
Oh, definitely. After you develop the understanding, you will be very different.
You go into an equilibrium mind state.
Yeah, you call that equilibrium, but it's actually equanimity. More born of understanding, born of
balance mind. So when that stage comes towards the end of the meditation, it arises forwards again. We call ping deng zhen jue.
Oh, sadhu, yeah. When you are in a state of equanimity, you will awaken, Yeah.
So maybe Bracho can explain in the next section about this.
Can. Because this one is a natural consequence of what one experience and go through. But when you are in a state, I better explain it now, otherwise I forget.
Yeah.
When you are in the state of equanimity, born of wisdom, there are two types. One is born of energy field, one different. Because the energy is still, nothing can move. But this one born of wisdom. When it's born of wisdom, the equanimity, the mind that is unwavering, collected, and does not stir because of the understanding, that one, like you mentioned, when your mind is in the state of equanimity, you will realize the true awakening. Means you like awaken, 正觉, means you awaken. So you have to silence the true mind until it's in that state of equanimity, which is not what you define. You must go into it until your that what they call equanimity in Pali is what already? Upeka. When the upeka mind arise, you can know it, because you can test it. The upeka mind is very different from the one that is in concentration. The upeka mind is with the wisdom one. Then when it arise, it actually awaken you one. Then you understand why that upeka mind can lead to enlightenment. There is an enlightenment factor. Because without upeka, the mind will stir. When the mind stir or react, means there is not enough wisdom. Yoniso manasikara, not there. Then when you have that upeka mind with the Dhamma wisdom, then you will understand. Think also like that, don't think also. Then you will be in that state. And then suddenly you will go into cessation. You will go into cessation, and then you will know what Nibbana is. That one is 正觉, you like realize and awaken to it. So this word that come out, you actually have to be careful, because sometimes it's, there are two possibilities. One is after you awaken, the Dhamma come out, manifest. The other one is because you have been reading a lot of this type of thing, then before the real upeka mind arise, that thing surface is partly due to knowledge and memory. That it trigger. That one also possible. But both condition is good. Means even the second one, like it trigger of true memory, at least for it to happen, there must be some form of understanding underlying it and behind it. But that one not stable yet. So you need to stabilize it. You need to continue to develop the understanding and persevere. Then silence your mind more and more, more and more, until the upekkha mind become very different. Means in the midst of life, it's already like that. Means throughout the day, everything that arises has got no power over you. Oh. Then like I mentioned last time, everything you come to perceive, you understand or no? Like rupang anicang, you understand or no? Vedana anicang, you understand or no? Sanya anicang, very clear or no? Sankara anicang, you understand what the sankara is or no? That anicang is. Then rupang anatta, everything very clear or no? Especially rupang. Like when you see any form, whether visual form or external form or whatever, that thing, rupang, that so-called rupang, anicang, very clear one. Means you must have very stable wisdom, penetrative stable wisdom to understand it. Then table also like that, rupang, anicang. The house also like that, the building, the highway, whatever you come to perceive within the phenomenal world outside, it's all like that. So all this, then of course the feeling all is very clear one, because you went through the awareness-based meditation, the feeling, sensation that arise, is very clear to you one. That one is dependent originating one. Then from that pure nature, the feeling arise first. So initially it's pure feeling. But the moment you have any views, opinion, conditioning, often piercing, then it will stir into pleasant, unpleasant, or like and dislike. Sometimes very subtle, without you knowing it. It's already there, the reaction of mind. So every moment of perception, every moment of hearing, seeing, smell, taste, tactile, you will go through one. Then it will reveal to you, it will show, then you will come to the understanding. Then you just understand. Then the heart smile and it just cease, the cessation going. And then when you come out of that cessation, everything become clear already. Then you understand what creation is, how that nature, which is the source, means the pure awareness also gone, cease, the unconditioned. It will just realize the unconditioned. Then how you come out of it is what creation is, how the five aggregate of form and mind surface again. How from the first moment the pure awareness come out. From that nature, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness. Then after that, the coming force, everything, it will arise. Then the three area of consciousness, how it actually arise and disperse into these three areas. One is to the brain, one is to the heart, one is to the tan tien. Then it animate you into a human being. You can see all this. That's why when you come out of here, you will know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And what is this so-called human being or five aggregate is all about. All this will happen. Okay, Isley?
Yes. I have to continuously.
Yeah. You already have the initial one. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. So you only need to continue to stabilize it until it happens. It will happen, but it will take a while. Unless your past is very strong, then you will actually, we call it skim through it, and you reach back your old level very fast. But from what I see in your this life's cultivation, you may not have that type of past. So you need to stabilize it, life after life with your cultivation. But all this can actually become very beautiful because the sasana is around. And it's only during the sasana you can meet great beings and teacher who has this understanding. Then if like this line, you make full use of this window and develop this understanding and the keenness and the faith to actually understand all this, then you become very different. In the future, your nature become very different. Then you can move very fast. Then all this is no more thought-based, no more intellect, no more from memory. It's all from the pure awareness. That's why pure awareness, you all must develop it until very stable. Until the awareness nature become a part of you. You understand it inside out. And then your future coming as a bodhisattva, very easy. Because it's all based on that. The pure awareness is the pure awareness nature that develops the understanding and the awakening and the perfection. Okay, I think we have to end 6:09 already.
Yeah, thank you, Brother, for
you, the you can wrap up. You can have a final wrap up.
I just want to thanks all Brother Teo for sincere sharing for this many years. That actually transform our thinking, especially now the 75 lesson. The mind states that go through this and the previous is totally different. It become an appreciation of sharing rather than inquire, you know. So there is a different from there, and also of Kalamitas, their sincere sharing of their experience. And I hope that these windows can really develop into a more beneficial to everyone.
In fact, later on when we have back our physical class, we can have a physical class sharing is very good. Then everybody can speak there and then. That one is very useful actually. We can have it like an informal thing or whatever. Then you just share whatever or develop the understanding together. Very good. Sadhu.
Okay, thank you, bye.
Thank you. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, 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 with all the good sharing by Po Cheng and also Sister Lee. Okay, so now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits and closing puja. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana etta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati sidiya idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Deo wasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Vito bawatu loko cha. Raja bawatu damiko. Ipina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole session. Thank you all for joining. Sadhu.